had the most beautiful tenor voice. I still get chills thinking with such a beautiful voice.
That was Elizabeth Herring. She teaches ballet and other subjects as part of the Prison Performing Arts program, but we'll talk more about that in a minute. But first, let's tell people what we're going to talk about.
This is Cut and Paste. I'm Willis Ryder Arnold.
And I'm Nancy Fowler.
Today we're actually going to look at the fact that both Nancy and I have done stories related to the arts in prison. And the stories range everywhere from funny to really sad.
Do you have like a really feel-good story from somebody that works in this area?
Yeah, Christopher Limber is the executive director of Prison Performing Arts, and he has a good story about a prisoner who really had this aha moment where he understood his part and really nailed it.
So did it really go smoothly for this guy? Was he just a natural?
Actually, he started out kind of having difficulty. The good part comes towards the end of the story.
Okay, let's hear it.
There was a prisoner who was playing the porter in the Scottish play in Macbeth, which we just did at Bowling Green. Very smart, very clever gentleman, but just had a dickens of a time learning his lines. He just was having a heck of a time getting off book. So he was the last one to be calling for line and stopping the flow of the show, and everybody was getting frustrated but not saying anything, being very polite about his process. And then one magic day, he got on stage, all of his lines were there, and he was drop-dead funny. Then, of course, the porter is the one comic moment in Macbeth. So he came on from beginning to end. Everybody was falling off their chairs, and he made his exit, and everyone burst into applause because he had a history of having a hard time getting off book. I saw him transform in that moment.
Not that many people actually go into a prison unless they've been sentenced to spend time there. And it's interesting because numerous people in the arts in St. Louis do spend time behind bars, and they see things and they work with people and have conversations that most of us never had. And you and I have been kind of lucky enough to cover some of these arts behind bars stories and just come away after having these wow conversations with various people that work with the prisoners.
One of the things that I think both of us have found really interesting is the way in which the people who are going into the prisons who work in the arts are themselves really affected by the stories that they learn from prisoners. Do you get that feeling?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, you know, anytime anybody's a teacher, they always say, I learn more from my students, you know, than they learn from me. But I think in this case, the stories are so different from what many of us experience and so really heartbreaking. In some cases, like this Elizabeth Herring, she's 89 years old. She teaches academic subjects and ballet to students in juvenile detention. And she was teaching this one boy, just tutoring him, and I think, like, geography. And he asked her if she liked opera. She said, sure, I love opera. And he began singing, and she was just blown away.
He had the most beautiful tenor voice. I still get chills thinking with such a beautiful voice. I said, where did you learn to sing like that? And he said, oh, he just knew how, that he liked to act and sing. And I said, well, I'm going to find opera theater people to come talk to you and see about your voice. And they sent a tenor from opera theater who assessed his voice and said it was very fine. A person from arts and education had come and said they could probably get him a grant for his singing. And then about a day or so later, I read in the paper, he was certified as an adult and was going to trial for one of the most horrible murders that happened in this city a long time ago. So the young man is now, I don't know what will happen to him.
You can tell she's really moved by that story and by a number of stories. She said, you know, she looks around at the kids and she says, I see so much hope in them, but I don't always have as much hope for them. I know that Prison Performing Arts is just starting to really do, you know, some follow-up studies, but they have a few anecdotes from this past spring. They had two events with young men, I think, in the detention center. One was a hip-hop poetry. 70% said that this hip-hop poetry project actually helped them to think about life.
It's really interesting because if you look at the state as a whole, there are roughly 32,000 people that are incarcerated here. Everywhere from the kids that you got a chance to the guys that I spoke with, to women in women's prisons. And it's really interesting because, you know, as you said, it's a really good indicator if it looks like people feel that the prison performing arts programs have a good effect on their lives.
With some of the girls in the ballet class that I visited, it was just a way to fill time. You know, they do academic classes, they play cards, and they watch a lot of TV. And this was just something more creative they could lose themselves in. As it turns out, there are dozens and dozens of other organizations doing similar work. And there's even an overarching organization that keeps track of them called the Prison Arts Coalition. And if you go to the website, their efforts include creative writing, poetry, dance, drama, music, even yoga and meditation, and even horticulture in some cases they consider part of the arts.
This has been Cut and Paste, produced by Nancy Fowler
and Willis Ryder Arnold, with the help of our editor, Donna Carondo.
The music you've heard throughout was made by local musician Eric Hall.
You can find Cut and Paste at stlpublicradio.org or subscribe to it through multiple podcast services.